Reading is from Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 6, and it's found on page 1032. Paul and his companion travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. From there we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to stay at her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Val. Right, let me pray. Dear Lord, do thank you for the account that we see of the early church in Acts and the unstoppable spread of your gospel. Lord, teach us what we can learn from this. Help us to be encouraged. Help us to know how we can best serve you by the example laid down by your faithful servants here. Amen. It's one of the hardest things, isn't it, is to know what does God want us to do? It's not always clear, is it? Very rarely is it clear. What does God want me to do in this particular session? What's he asking me to do? Where shall I be going? And the good thing is, though, what we do know is that we're not walking blind. We're not trying to work that out for ourselves. God is actively involved in his world and always will be. So we are guided. And the hard thing, though, is to work out, am I being guided here? Or am I being told not to go here? Is that a different type of guiding? Or am I just thinking this up in my mind? Is it just my feelings or my desires who's taking over here? What we see from this little passage is a bit of both. Sometimes it's clear, sometimes it isn't clear. But the key thing is, how do we make ourselves available and willing to be guided by God? And what we'll see through this, firstly, two main points, is God directs the route of the gospel. God directs this. And what we see with these guys is he's saying, I want you to travel here, but not here. Now go there, but not here. Let's see how this works. I'll look at verse 6. So Paul and his companions travel throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So kept by the Holy Spirit from going into Asia here on the map. And we're not told exactly how that worked. How were Paul and co. kept from preaching the word in Asia? We don't know. But it must have been enough for them to know there's no route opening up. No door is opening up for us to go into Asia. So here we are, we're now dealing with Paul's second missionary trip. So here he is, you see him bending round the top of Asia, going towards Macedonia, which will eventually pick up. Verse 7 and 8. When they came to the border of Mysia, you can see it there, top left of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia to go up north. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. So the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it's all one God. But again, so we see here that they're saying, don't go south into Asia, but don't go north into Bithynia either. Again, we're not told exactly how or what that was communicated to them. But it must have been enough. And again, sometimes it can be as simple as, well, there's just no route available. There's no transport. Or they might have been physically stopped by some opposition or something like that. We don't know. But they can deduce from this that God is directing them. An interesting thing is, he's clearly saying, come this way, but not this way. Of course, the immediate thing to think is, well, God wants to spread the gospel. He wants to draw in his children. Maybe he's rejected Asia and Bithynia. Is that the case? Well, no, because we see on Paul's third trip, he comes through these areas. So these areas are picked up. Interestingly, Bithynia isn't picked up in the New Testament. Doesn't mean it wasn't picked up later than that. And of course, we know specifically, as we went through, all those letters to the churches in Revelation, all those churches, or those churches highlighted particularly in Asia. So we know God eventually put the gospel into that area. But just not yet. Not at this point. And this is the key thing, because God is directing it. God's saying, go this way, but not that way. And Paul and his companions faithfully follow that. So go this way, but not that way. Now we see, come over this way. Verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. So they're in Troas, and that's where Paul gets this vision. So just up there, Paul gets this vision from man saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. It must have been clear enough, a clear enough vision and instruction for them to do that. And what's the interesting thing here is I bet that Paul and co, when they got to Troas, in their mind, they'll be thinking, right, once we get to here, we'll bend back round and come back through the Mediterranean, or at least the bottom of Asia there. Just like he did on his first trip. I'm going to get as far as I can, and then I'll come back to base at Antioch. The last thing, probably, in their mind, is to cross the sea again and go even further west. But they went. Verse 10, they went. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And it's a good lesson here for us. We should be reminded that we think that we've been pulled as far as God wants us to be. I'm now at the place that God wants me to be. I'll now settle down, I'll put my roots down, and get to work at what God's wanting to do. And we don't tend to think in the same way that God does. I think all of us would have naturally thought, well, once we get as far as Troas, we'll come back. Never would we be thinking, no, he wants me to go even further west, into more territory with less Jewish converts, less Jewish people from that original scattering and back to the old days of the exile. So even into more hostile territory. That would have been the last thing on his mind. But we are so quick to underestimate God's plans. We think small. God thinks bigger. And it's a good lesson for us. It's a good lesson for us in how we do church. Like if we think about the leaflets, we would love to leaflet shop Cliff's End or maybe some of the other areas. And we will think, well, we've probably gone far enough in terms of leaflets. But God is probably thinking, no, go further, do more, print off more, hand out more. Or like when we get the chairs out in the morning, the temptation is to put out enough for the people that we probably know are guaranteed to come. But God's saying, no, if you want more to come, in faith, put out more chairs. Put out more chairs. There's always the danger as well. When we put on events and no people come, the danger is to think, well, that didn't work. And it's so discouraging, we won't put on another event. But God will be saying, no, put on another event. I will bring people. You're not in control of that, as we'll see. Because God's directing the gospel. And what we'll see is that God is the one who applies the gospel. God applies the gospel. So off they've gone to Macedonia. They've had this vision. And of course, the vision's quite clear. Verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia. A man of Macedonia. But hang on a minute. Because we've seen when Paul got to Macedonia, to Philippi, it was Lydia who was the main subject of the story. Well, maybe Paul and Co got this wrong. Maybe he didn't see the vision right. Or maybe Lydia wasn't the person who was meant to be converted. Or maybe they misinterpreted it. Maybe God got it wrong. Well, the man in Macedonia is just indicative of the people in Macedonia. What we're going to see right through chapter 17 is many converts in Macedonia. This isn't all just about Lydia. There's all sorts of conversions happening here. So the man in the dream is just indicative of the people in Macedonia. And what we're seeing is that they've gone. Verse 12, they've gone to Macedonia. And did you notice though in verse 10? Notice in verse 10 we have a change in the narrative. Verse 9, during the night Paul had a vision of the man and begging him, come over to help us. Verse 10, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready all at once. We, Luke, has joined them here. We've gone from they did this to now we. Luke is now with them. Just an interesting side note in our narrative here. But off they've gone. They've gone to, taken the boat over from Troas, and they've gone down to Philippi. So let's pick up this up from verse 12. From there, we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. Verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? They've just gone to a totally new region. And the temptation is there, well, let's just check it out. Let's have a look at the sites, see what we can find here. But their instant gut feeling was to, well, let's find a place of prayer. Paul and Co. realizing, no, we're on a mission. Paul, God is taking us on a mission. We're there to serve him. We're not on a sightseeing trip. We're there to preach. And they go and find people to preach to. There's no mention of a synagogue here. We don't know. Don't know if there was one there, or this is just Paul concentrating now on the Gentiles. It doesn't matter. But the key thing is that Paul was looking for people to preach to. Even though going to this place was never part of his plan, he's realizing, I'm here now. God's called me here. I've got a job to do. In verse 13, we see, halfway through, we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. To the women. No one is outside the gospel. Women, children, and men all need to hear this. But here we come to the heart of this whole story. Verse 14. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. The Lord opened her heart. Here we see God directing the route of the gospel and God applying the gospel. God is the only one that can penetrate the heart with the gospel message. It wasn't Paul's words, the cleverness of his words, or the great speech he'd given, though it needs to be accurate. It wasn't the fact that this was just a place of prayer. It wasn't because they'd come to a place of prayer that they were suddenly now in a position to be converted. It wasn't Paul and his companions' hard work, their dedication. Lydia's heart was supernaturally changed, opened to receive the gospel. And only God can open a door like that. But what we see in this is that God is directing all these affairs, but he loves to use his faithful servants. He loves to use those who belong to him. God is the primary cause, and we are the secondary cause. And this is a case throughout the Bible. What do I mean by this? So the primary cause, in this illustration. So I could push this grey ball into the hole. I'm the primary cause of that grey ball falling into the hole. And often God will work like that. But sometimes he delights in using us as the secondary cause. So God, or in this situation, you're pushing the white ball. That's the primary cause. The secondary effect, the secondary cause, is that that then pushes the grey ball into the hole. God loves to use his faithful servants in this way. God opened Lydia's heart. God directed Paul to Lydia. But he used Paul to share the gospel message. And they were ready to do that. That was the whole reason they had gone. Verse 6. God directs travel. The door shuts. Go this way, not that way. Verse 7. God directs travel. The door shuts. Go this way. Verse 9. They get the vision. A door's opened. Come this way. Verse 14. Lydia's heart is opened. God opens that door. That's the primary means. The secondary means is them faithfully following. They went. They followed God's direction in all of those cases. No matter how confusing or difficult that may have been to understand, by faith they just said, well, let's go. No route is opening for us that way. Let's keep going. And then they get that vision, that clear vision. Come this way. And they left straight away. Look at verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. No committee was formed. No budget was raised. No vote. No opinion poll. They concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel, an apostle had been given a vision. That was enough for them to say, right, off we go. And they left straight away, finding people to preach to. How can we make ourselves useful to God in this way? This is the challenge. This is what it's asking us to do. How can we put ourselves into a position where God can use us in this way? We know that God controls the gospel and God will apply the gospel. We also know that he delights in using his faithful servants. What does it mean then to put ourselves forward as a faithful servant willing to be used by God in that way? Because that's our calling too. That's the calling not just of Paul, not just the apostles. Every Christian is called to be an ambassador for him. That's why he saved a group of people. That's the purpose of the church, is to draw people in. It doesn't mean that we're all missionaries or preachers. But we're all called to draw other people to God. And the question is, how do we do that? How do we know that we're following God faithfully? And how do we know it's not just are us going off on our own whim or what we want to do. It's about being faithful, patient, and prayerful. Faithful, patient, and prayerful. Following God's directions, no matter how small those directions might be. Being faithful means that we're dedicating ourselves to this purpose. God has saved me, not so that I'm free to live myself, but now I'm free to live for Him. Understanding that I'm blessed in Christ in order to be a blessing to others. And my allegiance is now to Jesus and not to my life of luxury. So to be faithful is just literally being obedient to my calling. I'm now putting myself in a place to be used by God. I'm saying to God, I now belong to you. Pull me, push me, drag me where you want me to go. Making ourselves always available. Verse 7. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So see, they tried to go one direction, but they're told not to go this way. They didn't get to the border of Bithynia and then just stop and wait for an email or a WhatsApp from God. They were trying different things. They were being faithful, seeing what door opened. And that's why we need to be patient. We need to be patient. We love to hurry things along because we love to take control. We think, I need to do this by then, otherwise this won't happen. But what do we know? We would think, well, I need to go and reach the people in that place by this time, otherwise something else might happen. Again, what do we know? We don't direct it. God directs it. And look how patient Paul and Co were. Verse 6, Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, big regions, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So they've just gone through big regions, and now they come to an even bigger region, and they're convinced that they're meant to go through it and not stay in it. How much patience do you need to do that? If you're being faithful, then you will be patient waiting for the opportunity to come. You just wait. Because you're being faithful, you're in a position to be used when God opens that door. But how do we know when that opportunity arises? How can we be sure that opportunity is presenting itself? The short answer is by prayer. The short answer is by prayer. Verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. Where we expected to find a place of prayer. We're going to go to this place, God, and we're going to come and pray to you, and we're going to pray that you will make it clear what our next move is. That's the short answer. Short answer is prayer. The long answer is being faithful and patient. And that's just a game of trial and error. This is a game of just pushing different doors. This is pretty much what a lot of gospel work is. You're just pushing various doors everywhere. Will this door open? Does God want me to talk to this person? Does God want me to sit down at this table with these people? Does God want me to live here, move there? You're just pushing doors. Because we don't make the doors. And we don't unlock the doors. But as faithful servants, we're constantly pushing against them. Where does God want me to go in this particular scenario? And this has always been the case. It's been the case with Paul and the growth of the New Testament church. It's always been the case. David Livingstone, he wanted to go to China. God said, I'm sending you to Africa. William Carey wanted to go to the South Seas. God said, you're going to India. Adoniram Judson, he was planning on going to India. God said, no, you're not. I'm sending you to Burma. Where we think think we're going, where we think the journey's taking us, isn't necessarily where it is. But we're pushing doors. They were pushing doors. Does God want me to go to India? Well, that door's shut. But the door to Burma has opened up. I'm going there. That is the life of the Christian. Not just in sharing the gospel, but in all things. Pushing doors. Is this where God wants me to go? Is this an opportunity God wants me to seize? It's very unlikely that we're going to get a vision like the man of Macedonia. Very unlikely. This is apostolic times, and the signs and the miracles they performed confirmed the word that they are preaching. Very unlikely. It's not impossible. God can do anything. God can give us a vision of anything. But we're praying and we're testing these opportunities. I'm going to invite this person to church. I'm going to push on this door. If this door's locked, that's fine. I'll move on to the next door and invite this person to church. And maybe I'll come back to that first person. And I'll build more of a relationship with them, and then I'll invite them to church again. And if it's still shut, I'll go to a different door and I'll do the same process. But we're always looking to see how God can use us. We're pushing doors. We're making ourselves available. And we're asking God in prayer to direct us clearly. We're praying for direction. This is what Paul and Co did. He's going round the Mediterranean. At no point in the account of Paul and his journeys did he ever spend any time by the Mediterranean, as tempting as that would have been. He was looking and pushing against doors continuously. And that's the task for us. And the thing is, God delights in using his faithful servants. And the reason he delights in using it is because it's actually a delight for us. It's a delight for us to be used by God in that way, to be pushing against doors, looking for opportunities, being faithful, making ourselves available, being patient, waiting for those opportunities, and being prayerful, always asking God, God, make it clear to me. Do I need to speak to this person? Do you want me to go here? Do you want me to get involved with this group? Asking God, because he's the one who directs the gospel. He's the one who applies it, but he loves to use his faithful servants. Let's pray. Father God, we do indeed thank you for your gospel, Lord. Every one of us today is here because someone or a number of people have been involved in our lives. And Lord, you put those people in our lives. You guided them. You've helped them steer us to you. And Lord, we're also reminded that only you can change our hearts. Only you can unlock the door of our stubborn hearts. But Lord, we also see that you delight to use your faithful servants. And we pray, Lord, that you would use each of us in our own way, whatever that may be. Just in phone conversations, or talking to people, serving you in the church, Lord, each of us plays our part in carrying out your process of converting many and drawing many into your kingdom. Lord, help us to be faithful as we do that. Help us to be patient. Lord, we know these things take time. And Lord, help us to be prayerful, always coming back to you for direction, never thinking that we have the answers or know better than you. Amen.